Amanda Dixon is the longtime host of Utah's Morning News. You can hear more of her each weekday morning between 5 and 9 here on KSL News Radio.
Welcome back to A Woman's View here on KSL News Radio. Francine Gianni is with me this week, former executive director of the Department of Commerce, and Kristen Sokol is here, professional relationship and dating coach at KristenSokol.com. Can I ask you about what I read this week about the Supreme Court? I know there had been some criticism of not just one justice. It was two or three different justices. There had been criticism on the fact that they accepted trips or gifts or compensation in some way that maybe, at least had the appearance of impropriety. It might not have been improper, but it had the appearance of that. And some were complaining that the justices weren't recusing themselves from cases in which they had some sort of an interest. And so the court came out with a new code of conduct that I was reading about this week. I just want to share a couple of the things and then I'll let you comment. First of all, it is a code of conduct with no enforcement mechanism, which is a little bit confusing. But some of the things it says are such no-brainers that I wonder if this was even necessary. I mean, the first one is obey the law. Okay, that's on the code of conduct. Do not discriminate on the basis of race, sex, religion, or national origin. Recuse yourself from cases they cannot approach impartially. So that's not the same as saying that they have an interest in the case. That's saying cases, even if they have an interest, if they think they can approach it impartially, they're allowed to stay on the case. So I don't know. Let me start with you, Francine. What do you make of this? And is it a move in the right direction, or is this just an attempt to make us shut up about this issue?
I think it's a very pale effort on their part. I mean, the fact of the matter is it really doesn't significantly change anything. They're just putting things in writing. Frankly, I think that there should be tighter controls and more transparency. The Supreme Court tends to do their work in private, even if it's a public issue. And I get that. I get the need for that. But I think things tend to be done in the dark where you can't see. I mean, what they've given us is just, you know, to try to placate people. I don't think it's going to really do much in the long run. And the fact that there's no enforcement mechanism, I mean, number one, they need to obey the law. Really? Kate, I hope that the Supreme Court is obeying the law. Yeah. Good grief. If they're not, we are in very big trouble.
How do you weigh that difficult balance between, okay, we want them to not be swayed politically, so we give them lifetime appointments, and we want that to remove them as much as possible from political pressure, and yet there's no mechanism in place to actually make sure that they're not receiving or succumbing to political pressure, because the appearances matter in this kind of situation, don't they?
Absolutely. Let me just say this. When I was at the Department of Commerce, I remember when I went down and took over the Department of Alcoholic Beverage Control for 11 months. I did both jobs. I brought my deputy director down. We made lots of changes. But I received an invitation to attend actually the LDS Church. They do a dinner at Christmas time. And I never, ever got an invitation when I was at Commerce. But here I am now in this new role, and I got an invitation. And they were free tickets. And I said to my secretary at the time, I said, we need to find out how much the tickets are. Because we went. They were $15 a ticket. I paid for them. My husband and I went. For the LDS Church, of which I am a member. But I just think the appearance of evil is what we have to stay away from. And I'm not sure that some of those justices, and I'm thinking of one in particular, who happens to be a member of my party, I'm not sure that that occurred.
Yeah, and I think you're right. Government in the sunshine. And even if they don't show us the intricacies of the way that they, you know, make decisions.
Decide, yeah.
Yeah, that's not what we're asking for.
Right.
Right. Speak to this, Kristen.
Okay, this is a great topic. And what I would say, first of all, is where's the beef? Right? None of this matters if there's no enforcement. For those who are our last stop on the train line for upholding the law of the land, right? We really need them to be motivated to avoid the very appearance of improprieties, right? We should demand enforcement on this. And we really need them to be very motivated to avoiding those kinds of improprieties. So, you we know that we don't live in a black and white world. It's not right or wrong. There's all kinds of nuance and shades of gray. And these decisions need to be made, and offerings that are given are probably fine. Like Francine's talking about these tickets. I mean, what does it matter? But I mean, this is one of those like shades of gray that we want to avoid. And so like, what are the consequences of not following some of these laws? They should be extra harsh and extra scary, right? Because we want them to be so motivated. I mean, if you're going to accept these bribes and like rides on the mega yacht and taking these donations from mega donors, I mean, harsh penalties need to exist because that's what it takes to motivate people. And as far as enforcement, it can't just be the media. Although I do appreciate this like a code of conduct and its presence in the media, I think media awareness is, maybe 90% of the battle, but it's not enough, and we can't rely on the media to be the ones holding them accountable. I don't know what the answer is. I have no background in law, but I'm sure that these things exist, and I'm sure there's things we could pull from. And it's, we've never needed this before. I don't know, maybe we have and we didn't know it, but here we are now, right? And we have to deal with where we are and meet ourselves with where we are and build from here.
All the other courts have codes of conduct. Legislators have codes of conduct. The president has a code of conduct. And oftentimes those are enforced by the Supreme Court. So in the court's case, it is a question, who enforces against the court? Usually it's the chief justice who's in charge of keeping all the other justices in line. But, we could certainly change that if we needed it to be some outside body. And it's unfortunate that it's necessary. But I think we have learned in the last year that this is something we should not take for granted.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know the process of what happens if the president becomes incapacitated, but I imagine it's some sort of a scrambling of members of the House and Senate and all these things that come together to like make this decision. And maybe we need a scramble. If there is some sort of accusation, we assemble a body.
That's
and we
smart.
Take care of business.
That I what came to my mind when you said that was Avengers assemble. All right, let me take a quick break. And we'll be back. This is A Woman's View on KSLX Radio.